people who actually do the work in the jail. So this is sort of not that, but this is an analysis of work we're doing because of our involvement with women with HIV. So the title is Incarceration Among HIV-Infected and At-Risk Women, and the work was mainly done by, the analysis was done by Nicola Lenke, who can't be with us today. I don't have any financial relationships to disclose, but WISE is funded by the NIH, and lots of different sites have different Euro-1 numbers. So in 2012, over 1.5 million people were incarcerated in state and federal prisons. And in 2013, there were 750,000 people detained in local jails. The number of women in prison has increased dramatically, 646% from 1980 to 2010, going from 13,000 to over 100,000. And then in 2013, it rose again to 111,000. And one quarter of female prisoners are serving time because of drug offenses, compared to a lower percentage for men. And three quarters of women who are in prison have a history of severe physical abuse by an intimate partner during their adulthood, and a very large number, 82%, have suffered serious or physical sexual abuse as children. In HIV, 15% of persons with HIV in the U.S. go through a correctional facility each year. In 2010, 1.9% of female inmates in state and federal prisons were HIV infected, much higher than the general population. Antiretroviral therapy is sometimes, and we heard much more than that, is prescribed in U.S. correctional facilities. Recent incarceration is definitely been shown, reported to be a risk factor for worse HIV disease control. Actually, the deterioration is seen after release, so the issue is of aftercare, and this was especially true in women. But most of the studies actually are not just specifically about women's experience in jail. Women make up a smaller percentage in a lot of the research and investigations that have been done. So we wanted to describe the experiences of incarceration among women in the U.S. and women at risk for HIV, and we wanted to determine the factors that were associated with incarceration among women and determine the effect of incarceration on HIV treatment outcomes and mortality in HIV-infected women. So I work in the WISE study, Women Interagency HIV Study, and this is a multi-center observational cohort of women with and at risk for HIV, and over 4,000 women have been enrolled in six sites during three waves since 1994. Currently, this study actually has begun to include southern sites, four southern sites, which will be very, I think, interesting in terms of the epidemic in the South and the women who are affected by HIV there. But our data right now is just about women in the northern sites. Women come and have study visits every 6 months. They complete long questionnaires and on clinical and demographic information, very brief physical exam, and they give some biological specimens. So we included for this analysis participants who were in the WISE between 2007 and 2014. A lot of our data related to prison and jail was not well done before then. Also, starting in 2007, we had better medication related to HIV, so I think it's a good group for us to sort of look at in terms of present issues. So we looked at the women who answered questions related to incarceration, and we also looked at ever incarcerated and since your last visit were you incarcerated. So the visits are every 6 months. And the outcomes we were looking at were HIV treatment outcomes in terms of adherence to antiretroviral treatment, whether they were on antiretroviral therapy, and whether they were virally suppressed. And then we also looked at all-cause mortality and time to death. We do a lot of collection of NDI registry matches, and myself and another physician go through each of those registry matches and have a coding for mortality, whether it was AIDS-related, non-AIDS-related, pneumonia, or not determined. And then we were also looking at the issues that we thought might be particularly important related to various behavioral, socio-demographic, and clinical factors that I'm going to show you that might be associated with being incarcerated. And then my friends did a lot of analyses to look at what proportion and what had various factors, and did a multivariable logistic regression to think to identify the characteristics that were most related to incarceration. And then we looked at things to see what was significant for viral suppression and adherence. And then we looked at mortality in terms of hazard regression. So there were over 4,000 women that had been enrolled during this period, and if we only included the women in the six sites and women who had incarceration status, we were left with about 1,800 HIV-infected women, 1,798, and 722 HIV-uninfected women. The uninfected women in WISE are women who look very similar to the women with HIV in that they come from similar neighborhoods, were often recruited from drug treatment programs or testing sites where they were negative. And I think I'll show you, well, I won't show you them separately, but their age might be, they might be a little old, younger, but otherwise they look very similar in terms of their being very poor, mainly African American, not working that much, and having a very high prevalence of history of intimate partner violence and depression. So this is complicated, but the point is that actually the things that you would think would be characteristics of women who were in jail versus those who were never incarcerated turned out to be true. So there were so basically two-thirds of the women who were infected were incarcerated, reported ever being incarcerated. But if you look at the total number of people that we have data for, basically one-third were incarcerated. So one out of three women in WISE report being incarcerated ever. African American women had a higher rate, poor, not a lot of education, also a higher rate, employment, if you're not working, you're more likely to have been incarcerated, unstable housing more related to being incarcerated, and there was a geographic difference. I don't know if you can you see the Chicago is, you'll see it again later, but basically California, I think, you'll see it in a different slide, but there were some geographic differences for those who were ever incarcerated. Well, you could see it there, right? California is 25% in San Francisco and 16% in Los Angeles. Somehow being in Brooklyn, you're less likely to be incarcerated. then we looked at behaviors, and clearly drinking, drug use, both injection drug use and crack cocaine and heroin, ever use and current user, were all associated with more likely to ever be incarcerated. Sexual identity, we have done a little work on, and we note that women who report themselves as being bisexual, more likely to have been incarcerated, to also have experienced violence. And clearly those women who reported transactional sex ever, much more likely to have been incarcerated. And the same goes for childhood sexual abuse and abuse ever. And similarly, those women who reported depressive symptoms, we use the CESD, either at the initial visit or the visit before dying or before the end of their involvement in the study, also reported more likely to be incarcerated. And then when we look at the outcomes just by incarceration status, we can see that just as an overview, those who were incarcerated were less likely to have to be virally suppressed, both at the last visit and at the first visit that we sort of include them. CD4s are pretty similar, but there's a little bit at the index visit of it being lower. And adherence, look to be worse, but just a little bit, if they were ever incarcerated. And then we looked at their experiences, and of the 2,500 women that we looked at, over a third reported a history of incarceration. 29% were incarcerated once, 43% reported 3 to 5 incarcerations, and 28% reported greater than 5. And the median days in jail were 10, so smaller numbers. And then when we looked at the recent incarceration experiences, that's, say, in the last 6 months, have you been incarcerated? 10% said they had been, less percentage-wise of the infected women. And of the 149 infected women that reported over 250 incarcerations, for 58%, during 58% of the incarcerations, they continued taking their antiretrovirals. So a great number didn't. Places where continued ART were more likely to be those where they had stayed longer. Those that people were shorter were less likely to be continuing antiretroviral therapy. And then the correlates, so this is where you can see that the site was different. So San Francisco's much more likely for people to have been incarcerated. Race came out, and then in the adjusted, and then education continues to be important. Unstable housing continues to be important, and then issues of smoking and using drugs were very important. And you would expect that crack cocaine, heroin, and transactional sex, as issues that people would get put in jail for, would be important. And then hepatitis C as a relationship for being incarcerated. So in terms of outcomes, when we did multivariate, we see that you were less likely to be on HART if you'd been incarcerated. Your adherence was not quite as good if you'd been incarcerated, but your viral suppression, we didn't see a difference at this point. And again, these were fewer numbers of incarceration episodes. We did see that there was a mortality difference for those who had a history of jail, that they had a lower survival rate. When we looked at this, lots of analyses to look at it, we just looked at ever incarcerated by some demographic characteristics. Univariate, it comes out that the hazard ratio was 2.7, 2.8. When we adjusted it for usual demographics in terms of work and race and CD4 count, it still was a significant issue at 2.77. Then when we looked at it again with the CD4 at the most recent visit, it too came out as important. But when we included depression in the first set and then hepatitis C in the second set, the impact of incarceration was clearly attenuated. So thinking about what the impact of depression and hepatitis C have on women who also end up being incarcerated is of course very important to think about. So our conclusions were that women in our study had a high prevalence of incarceration, a 38% lifetime and a 10% recent in the last 6 months as during their questioning during our study. That recent incarceration correlated with not being on antiretroviral therapy and reduced adherence. Women reported ever being incarcerated were twice as likely to die than those not experiencing incarceration, but adjusting for other factors associated with incarceration, like hepatitis C and drug use, clearly attenuated this relationship. And just, there's been a study that looked at women versus men, but very small numbers of women were part of this study. And again, it showed that women, upon leaving, who were ex-detainees, did worse in terms of viral suppression and all the other markers of the cascade. So I think our study is sort of supporting this, and more work obviously has to be done. I think the implications are that going to jail appears to be both a marker and a mediator for poorer outcomes for the women in our study, and resources devoted to incarceration could be better spent on providing economic opportunities and drug treatment programs for women with and without HIV. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you so much. So now we have our final speaker, Narges. All right. Narges is a PhD candidate in biomedical science at Virginia Tech. She got her MPH from Virginia Tech in 2014 and her master's in science in systems engineering at the University of Southern California in 2011. Her BSc is in industrial engineering from Iran in 2008. Her research focus is on multi-scale immunoepidemiological modeling of HIV dynamics and transmission. She also does cost-effective analysis of outbreak interventions. Please welcome her.